do you think a traditional organization ends up landing? Let's take like external communications, talent, you know, talent advertising, right? Of any sort, recruitment marketing. We all land here first. And part of this is just the mechanics or the technology that's actually driving us to that, right? We talk about sites like Indeed or ZipRecruiter. What they bring to the table is enormous, right? Great partners, we worked with them for many years. They do really good in what they do. Maybe 80, 90% of your budget is pouring into vehicles like this to drive specifically to job requisitions, which essentially are just living job postings. It's the very definition of landing in what, right? And any given client that we work with, the average traffic going to a job description, about 40% of traffic will go straight to the actual rec because of this sort of media play. And listen, there's nothing wrong with this. It's not that what is wrong. It's that we're going here first. We're going to Comp and Benny's. We're going to what's the actual physical role that I'm doing before I tell you why. Why come work for Symphony Town? Why come work for Liberty Mutual, right? What does that look like, right? So it's part of the technology has kind of created some of this challenge. 50% of all job seekers will land on your homepage. But the sad part about this is the next place they go, 70% of those users go straight back into search. So we've created this kind of bad circle, right? Of those first-time visitors, by the way, the average engagement over to content and culture and value pages, less than 2%, right? Now, we all know that an individual trying to come to your organization for the very first time, it's gonna take 7, 8, 10, 12 steps before they actually come into your organization, right? So nothing to get too concerned about, but the point is that we want to start to figure out how technology can enable more why thinking earlier in that funnel and cycle. And we're gonna do this internally as well. So there are four aspects when we build an employer brand. If this was a EVP brand development presentation or discussion, we talk about these as our four pillars of an employer brand. Credibility, the idea of how long for the last 5, 10 years have I been who I say I am so that what I'm saying is resonating to market. That's credibility. Relevancy is simply, hey, I've got an offer for Chris. Is that offer relevant to him? Do I know who he is and do I know how my brand pivots to it, right? Aspirational and differentiating is who we want to be. We're maybe not quite there yet, but we're trying to be there, and we want a user or a job seeker or an employee to see themselves in those shoes. And differentiating really is what sets us apart from our competitors. So if we looked at tactical movements in an EVP, and these are just a few examples, creative campaigns, career sites, event marketing, training, et cetera, and the life cycle in EVP being from a candidate all the way through to an exiting employee, right? Where I would take those kind of brand pillars, if you will, and plot them on the chart would look something like this. Relevancy to me is probably the first thing we talk about, right? When we want someone to join our organization, we want to say, this is what we're about and this is why you should come. If we're really, really starving for software engineers, I need to make myself relevant whether I'm Google or I'm Allstate relative to, hey, why us and what do we bring to the table? That relevancy goes two different ways though. It's also about me being a lot more intelligent about how I target and where those users are, right? And that's what I want to hone in today. So I want to talk about media targeting in that category. Differentiating and aspirational, right, are those aspects where, okay, I've attracted Nicole to the organization. And I want Nicole now to drill into kind of a personalized experience, as personalized as it possibly could be, so that she can see herself in our shoes. So she can see, hey, what is it like to work within the organization and how do we make that different from anyone else? So she says, yeah, I want to buy, right? Because at the end of the day, we can't forget, we're selling, right? We're selling careers, right? It's aspirational, it's wonderful, but we're still selling, right? And we've got to make that personalized to the user. Finally, credibility, to me, when we talk about talent advocacy, because that seems to be kind of the buzz words of the day at the moment, to me, talent advocacy is all about building up enough cred with my existing EVP amongst my existing employees to say, hey, what I'm selling to the rest of the market, it actually is real, right? This is what we stand for. This is who we are, right? So much so that my 1,000 employees all want to be part of selling it for me, right? Going to their friends and saying, yeah, this is what we're about. right? So that's kind of how it is. And so the way I break it down is those emotional pillars that we build an EVP upon have correlating activation points. And that's what I want to talk about today, is simply media targeting and how that relates to relevance, personalization, and how it relates to the aspirational and differentiating qualities of a destination, like a website or a CRM, okay? And then how we nurture to advocacy, right? How do we build credibility by actually building it, right? Before we even ask someone to go ahead and try and sell us on Facebook or LinkedIn, right? So let's start with relevancy and media targeting. I'll beat up one more time on Indeed. I'm not sure why, because I love Indeed. Indeed's great. But the point of this is that Indeed is fantastic for what it does, but do not forget that Indeed is not a brand strategy, right? Indeed is essentially a search engine, right? That's how it functions, that's how it works, right? And that's how it's built. It means you typically have an active-only pool. You're competing with other organizations for that same talent, right? But the real kicker, the job seekers there are anonymous until they apply, right? So this is the major brand problem with job posting structures of any sort, is that they are jobs, and jobs require some sort of action. And action means applying. And if I don't have a social element to it, then I have no clue who Fred or Sam or Susie or Thomas is until they actually come and convert on my site, right? This means that I have no ability to try and take my emotional content and get it over to that user. In fact, sites like Indeed don't even try that, right? You notice they don't have creative, they're not trying for social aspects. They're not doing what, say, Glassdoor did, entering in on a social sort of platform-ish and then bringing in jobs after that, right? They haven't even bothered with that. And Google for Jobs is the next example of this, right? Search engine techniques. So the point is, while this might be 80% of your media spend, and that is probably it should be, we still have something that we're missing, right? And that's the ability to brand and use some sort of branded vehicle to also advertise ourselves, right? So Brian Solis from Altimeter Group, I love this quote. We tell Facebook all about ourselves, but Google knows the real us. Okay? This is so true, so true. I'm waiting for one of these years where Google like literally takes over the world and I can be like, yeah, I knew they were evil, right? The idea here is less about Google actually, and more about the idea of how, for better or for worse, everywhere we go online, we're tracked, right? Even when you're deleting your cookies, you're usually being cookied. And there is a good and a bad to this. Cambridge Analytica, right? Bad is when organizations use data and then go to the next step of data they're not supposed to be using, as in, I don't know, your daily conversations with other people that are private on a social network and then leveraging or using that as actual targeting data to negatively target someone, right? That's bad. What's good is traditional leveraging of data techniques to bring out brand messages to audiences that you want to reach, okay? So what I mean is this, and I'll mix in some factual data and some hypothetical. Let's say I work in healthcare and I'm home health aide. Google will know this. Google knows this, and most data exchanges online know this because they can look at my LinkedIn profile, they can index their profile, they will see where I visit. They will see I will return to a certain domain. They will know my email address, okay? Google, if I happen to have Gmail, it's actually gonna read my emails. They're not necessarily reading the emails to go do something interesting with them. Actually, at the end of the day, they sell ads. That's what Google does. That's their main source of revenue to this day. So they're reading them so that they can see keywords repeated and then serve me up ads that are relevant, right? Google would also know that I'm a New England Patriots fan. I'm sorry to say that in the room. That's usually a negative thing to most people. I'm an avid tech junkie. I spend a lot of time on CNET. But maybe also in the healthcare space, I spend a lot of time on allnurses.com, right? So Google compiles all of this information, as well as organizations like BlueKai and Exalate, what we call data exchanges online. This information is useful for us in terms of making campaigns that can leapfrog over traditional vehicles. So in other words, just like you send a job posting out to Indeed, banner advertising has become a rich, programmatic world in which we essentially can buy data, say, hey, I want to target someone that looks like Mark. Home healthcare professional who's working currently, let's say I work for Brigham and Women's in Boston, and I'm in it within a certain age range. Let's say they're looking for users 35 to 48 and within a 50-mile radius of Boston. Maybe I have some tech in my background or savvy or some sort of interest. I basically can essentially take all of that data and say, okay, this is the profile of, say, one of our rock stars within the organization. I want to get 50 more people like him. So we go out to data exchanges, and we say, this is who we're looking for, and we want to build a banner campaign to reach that individual. What this allows us to do is then take that profile and serve up banners and branded advertisements to those users wherever they are online. So in other words, we're leapfrogging over the traditional, oh, the only way I can find Mark is putting him on Deed. No, I can find Mark on ESPN.com if I feel like it. The banner has targeted me, not where I am. So as long as the site can take a banner, it's going to follow me wherever I am. Anyone ever gone to Amazon, looked at a shoe or whatever you look at, and sure enough, 2 weeks later, or a week later, or a day later, right? Similar technique. It's leveraging, and Amazon could care less where you are online. It's not necessarily waiting for you to return, right? It's serving that banner up in a specific environment. What this really allows us to do is take something very tactical. Banners tend to be fairly tactical, right? But make them more engaging and interesting. So these are now pivoted specifically in Northwell Health to individuals down a specific path. So home health will look completely different from sales or engineering or a technology role within the organization. So it allows us to take that personalized brand and all that time and care we've taken with our EVP to separate it or segment it by audience and now actually deliver that to the specific user instead of the old way of doing it, which was just serving up a generic banner ad. The same can be done contextually, right? So we can come to a site like allnurses.com. We can do the same. So banner advertising can also be on sites that are contextually relevant. So I'm searching for home health, or it's a site that repeats the word home health many times. Well, that's likely to be somewhere I look for that type of user. So I serve up a banner that does interesting things. Inside that banner, by the way, we can build in job search. We can build in career pathing. And it's not so much, I'll be honest, banner advertising is more of a supportive action. Think of it as akin to social advertising, where it's less about the raw conversion statistics that you'll see from an active media like Indeed. It's more about supporting the overarching brand story and supporting the overall path to hire, right? So these are techniques that constantly gently nudge you. It's not whether you click on that Amazon banner. It's that Amazon's kind of throwing a little pebble at your head saying, hey, remember those shoes? Remember those shoes? Remember those shoes, right? Until you do remember the shoes and come back. That's what this sort of advertising does. So it allows us to articulate our brand, but do it in an interesting way. The same applies, by the way. Let's say I look at that banner, that generalized banner, and maybe it wasn't right for me. And maybe I go to the Northwell site and I look at physical therapy roles, right? But let's say, like most users on the very first touch, I'm not completing the application process. Maybe their application takes 45 minutes to complete, which we all kind of love and hate our ATS, right? So I'm not going to finish up. Well, then we use that Amazon-like technique to deliver that user a specific banner based on what they're looking at. We can easily dynamically adjust the creative so it's relevant to that specific application. So I can be nudging just like Amazon did relative to the shoes and say, hey, there's this physical therapist role. It's in the same vein and twist of our brand because physical therapy is a massive, massive focus area for Northwell Health, and I'm going to send that user right back into that specific role. The same sort of retargeting techniques, by the way, we're starting to apply now to Google. So the next rollout of what we're doing in this space, and a lot of advertisers are doing, is saying even just raw Google search results can then be trolled in this sort of manner. So I'm taking and retargeting to a user just because they look for physical therapy in general. Right? Could be in general, could be careers, could be jobs, as general, as broad, or as specific as we want to be. Okay? So that's the idea of targeting, kind of the first kind of example that I want to use. Any questions there, by the way? I don't mean to be a talking head, so you can kind of blurt out questions and throw up a hand if there's something. Yeah? Other way around. Yep, you got it. Yep, so it follows the person around. So you as an individual, I set up an archetype, and we go to data exchange, and they say, okay, yes, within this archetype, that structure that I showed you, there's maybe 4,000 people within the Boston area that you can reach. And I might say, I want to reach more. So then I'll expand my age range, or I'll expand kind of, okay, I can look at these competitors or these keywords. So we can broaden or narrow it as much as we want. And then simply we deliver out to those individuals. Now it's more about impressions, right? It's more about this sort of technique is about did users see it? Because typically, other than retargeting, which tends to be a very direct return on investment, the rest of banner advertising tends to be a little bit more, how does it support other elements? But we know that the typical user sees 7-8 different touches with your brand, including multiple media, before that individual actually decides to make a decision. So it's that nudge. And what this also does, by the way, is we're starting to introduce branded stories, right? Instead of being just focused on, again, those kind of comp and bennies and the tactical level details in your job postings. Is there another question? Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm fairly new to this space, so this may be a very basic question.
Yeah.
But how do you know you're not overdoing it with these types of banner ads and really kind of freaking people out? Like, ooh,
yep.
Big brother watching you.
Yeah, it's really about a gentle technique, right? So typically, in any sort of arrangement, we look for active media and your kind of standard posting media to be somewhere in the 80-85% range. This sort of work tends to sit in that 10%, 15%. Users in general, these sorts of campaigns, both on the consumer side and the recruitment side, are actually met with good return. It's just if you continue to barrage a user too many times. So we usually tend to limit to one or two impressions relative to this media. We don't want to take that same 4,000 and hit them 14 times. Just like CRM or email marketing, it's the amount of times that typically starts to annoy a user. It's okay if I sign up for J.Crew. It's not okay if they send me 4 emails within 3 days, right? It's okay if I get 1 every 2 weeks, right? Good questions, okay. So how does that relate to aspirational and differentiating content? So how many folks use Spotify, Apple Music? Yeah, right, okay. So you're familiar with a technique that's become pretty much a label of any e-commerce sort of platform, which is the next thing that we do in the chain, this is kind of an extension of what we're talking about with media. The next thing we do is we try and say, okay, Mark's come into a specific site. Now I'm kind of interested, I want to use something. But now I want to personalize the content in front of Mark so that he stays, right? So the way we differentiate ourselves and the way we create kind of competitive difference and aspirational difference is we try and find out as much about a user as they join a destination, as they land on our website or land in our CRM as possible. The reason we do this is the more I tailor to you, the more likely you are to engage with the content, right? I can also pivot my brand to you, right, more uniquely. The more generic I stay, the more likely you are what we call bounce and leave the site. So Spotify uses these techniques, or Apple Music, or you know, pick your favorite music service here, by essentially saying, okay, if Mark listens to X, then I will give him more albums like X, right? Amazon does the same technique and was really the first to market in understanding that in any buying moment, the more relevancy you give, your ROI goes dramatically up, right? So most users actually are not annoyed by these techniques at all. In fact, it's become a de facto kind of statistic or pivot of any good e-commerce practice, right? So Amazon, even if I didn't flash this image up, everyone in this room knows exactly what Amazon looks like. And Amazon has increasingly added layer after layer, year after year, almost to the point where it's starting to burst with too much content, right? And the idea is simple. If I say to Chris, hey, here's this book, Chris, yes or no? But if I say, hey, I can look inside this book, here's what 5 people said, good or bad. And that was such a big thing for Amazon to do, right? Like bad reviews? You're going to put bad reviews on the site? Well, yeah. Because then underneath that, I'm going to put a nice row of little products, right, that say, hey, if you don't like this, then you should look at this, right? And it also created a level of trust, right? Amazon suddenly became a trusted partner in you searching for something. Versus, hey, I'm just gonna chuck a whole bunch of stuff at you. All of it stinks, but I'm hoping you don't know that, right? So really interesting techniques, as opposed to our good old friend, the ATS, right? Here we are again. Rich Amazon Spotify experience, really banal, lame, ATS experience, right? And this is what we're all locked in. I can throw these kind of stones. We have an ATS of our own, right? And we know very well where an ATS starts and where an ATS stops. ATSs are good for what they do, which is managing almost like files and folders, your applicants as they come through the process. Not so good at selling, right? Like, here's your qualifications, here's your comp bennies. Maybe you can put a little picture up at the top, a little masthead to try and dress this up and make it feel better, but that's pretty lame idea of branding to me, right? So what we do as an organization is we build out enhanced job descriptions. There's many platforms that do this today. If you are not doing this today, whether with us or someone else, I highly encourage you to do it, right? It is going to your ATS and saying, hey, thanks for all of that. We're going to take over the search portion for now. We just want you to handle the apply process, right? Because that allows us to essentially window dress exactly how we want our job descriptions to look, right? So I'll show you this live if we have enough time. We have a little time. Just so you can get a feel for how this works and then how that bends into personalization. So if I want to look at, say, we'll use Northwell again, Northwell jobs. And I come to Northwell, and there's one other thing I want to point out too. When I come to Northwell, I'm going to get a kind of a generalized experience that looks like this. Standard brand that's being served to me, standard open jobs. It has no clue who I am, so it's just chucking a whole bunch of stuff at me, right? But it is telling the story of the Northwell brand and what it's like to work within the organization, the idea of what matters most. When I go to a specific job and I look for, say, a nursing career, okay, and I pull up any nursing role, inside that job description, instead of kind of that cold clinical requisition that we typically see, hopefully the Wi-Fi plays nicely with me here. Maybe it's a little bit slow, but it'll get there. Great. Within the job description, we now have the ability to pull in video, additional content, serve up those multiple videos right alongside of the actual job, right? Segment our qualifications and responsibilities, so this is interesting and engaging. Bring in blog content, social content, events relevant to that user, right? Testimonials relevant to that user. Essentially what we're doing is we're taking job descriptions and we're starting to make them into sites, right? Essentially becoming microsites in their own. And this is ultimately where the entire industry is going, I believe. What this also allows us to do though, is actually we add an extra layer of personalization on top of this. So let's say I leave Northwell, right, all together. And let's say I pull back to Indeed. And now instead of, let's say, IT jobs, I want to look for a specific IT role. Here we go. And I go to that specific job. That specific role is a clinical role. What the website's done now is it's pivoted to a clinical-based area for me to explore. It's serving me up information relative to that clinical role. It's serving me up similar clinical roles or within that path, and any related content I want to be delivered relative to that clinical position. So what the site is doing is it's following what I'm doing from search, and then it's doing simple layering technique on top of that and saying, hey, the next time Mark comes back or the next time he goes to home, I'm going to serve him up that specific role, that specific content. So what we're doing is pivoting our brand based on a user action within the site. This is basically just called click-based personalization. We can do the same by location. So if a user is coming from Boston, I want to serve them up Boston-based content with a national organization. All it really is really allowing us to start now expressing these beautiful brands that we create through all of this conference and the work that we do back at our own companies and actually bring them to the right moment, right? One of the things I hate, and I've worked on both sides of the house, both in employer branding and creative shops, as well as technology, and what I hate is the two are divided, right? Spend $200,000 on a brand, but I have no technology to support it, or vice versa, buy this beautiful platform, and absolutely no creative to make it shine, right? So it's just a merge of the two together, okay? The other technique I wanted to show you that we do is really taking to the next level relative to email and CRM. Right? So your typical CRM experience, and we've worked with Hilton Grand for a while, and we're just launching them in the coming months in this solution. Your typical CRM solution focuses on job, right? How many of you have talent networks of some sort? Okay, getting there. Really important to have some sort of sign up that sits outside of your reply, but really important also to think about CRM as something more than just serving up job alerts, right? Maybe some of your ATS, those of you who didn't raise your hand, have even just a basic job alert function, right? It's a very tactical function, and the tactical function goes to something like this. I come in, I don't apply, it's somewhere where I can be served jobs later on, and that's useful. But studies show actually that only 32% of users actually just want job-related content, 60% actually want brand communications. So one of the things that we've been moving into now and kind of the next layer of this is what we call a drip campaign. And a drip campaign simply says, hey, I've got the same branded content, that same path that we showed you on the website. Now I want to deliver it in email because email communications are still an extremely vibrant, high return, low investment way of keeping in contact with users, right? So we want to automate the process just like automated job alerts are sent out to users in your talent networks. So in other words, CRM is when we have a manual one-on-one communication. Chris wants to reach me, he's a recruiter. He has to manually go into his system on the back end, Avature or whatever it may be, plug it in, type in, I want to send this campaign to Mark. And then he's going to remember to do it a week from now if I don't respond. Then he's going to do it 3 months later when I still don't respond. Very inefficient system. What we're moving to now is automating that process as well as automating the branding that comes with it. So let's say I'm Hilton Grand Vacations in this hypothetical situation, and I'm interested in bringing sales individuals into Hawaii. Hawaii tends to be a huge hotspot for Hilton Grands. They're actually really hard to recruit for based on the relative size, and people, yeah, I want to move to Hawaii, and then they don't actually move to Hawaii, right? So in this chain, what a drip campaign does is essentially allows us to schedule out branded communications based on what the user is doing. So the first welcome might look like this, is a generic welcome relative to sales. Then 2 weeks go by, Chris doesn't respond. I serve him up automatically. The system says, okay, it's been 2 weeks. Chris hasn't responded. It checks down to less conversion-based content and more brand-based content. So I'll get an email out to Chris. They're basically saying, hey, you remember we were thinking about Hawaii? Explore more. Take a look at the kind of surrounding country. Take a look at kind of what our brand has to offer you, right? As opposed to if Chris has opened the last email, I'll automatically respond within 2 days, keep it nice and short and sweet, and I'll move right into conversion-based content. Here's upcoming career events. Here's what we're doing. Here's where it's going to be. Please join. So this is automating why we call it drip, automating that kind of slow response or fast response based on a user and what they're doing, right? These sorts of techniques are so, so critical. I can't stress this enough because so much time and energy is put into the brand, but also so much time and energy on your recruiters or hiring managers, folks scrambling to take all of this content and try and manually send it out all the time to, you know, sometimes great return and sometimes not, right? So this automates that process and keeps it consistent. Finally, credibility. Any questions there, by the way, too? I kind of ran through a lot there. You do, yeah? Yeah. Yeah. So a typical CRM or talent network of any sort of structure typically is extracting jobs from the ATS, and then it's placing that within an email. So it's basically saying, okay, your specific user comes, you indicate some sort of interest in marketing, right? Then I serve you up marketing-based roles as soon as they become available. Yeah. So typically it's kind of a two-way communication with your ATS. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So let's round the corner into credibility. Credibility, this is a really important one, but there's something I want to focus on that's a little bit different from others, which is the path of how we actually get to advocacy, and then we'll talk a little bit about advocacy too. But it's that first piece that's really, really important. So talent advocacy and kind of the buzzword of that whole universe is really around a simple idea, which is that marketing is great, right? But marketing by word of mouth and people that I trust is much better, right? So if I know Jackie and Jackie says, Mark, you really, really need to come work for General Mills. Okay, I like Jackie, I respect Jackie, I'm gonna take that recommendation. If General Mills comes directly to my inbox, unwarranted, or is that a career event? I don't know them, I don't trust them yet, right? So it's a simple idea of trust. the reality inside your organization, whether you're leveraging social or not, whether you're leveraging what we call social ambassadors or not, 50% of your organization on average actually spends their time on their personal social sites talking about their job, both good and bad, right? Glassdoor kind of brought this a little bit to the fore, but it'd be wrong to say that they were the ones to do it, right? LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, there's so many different ways we can actually talk about our brand and different methodologies to do so. So it's extremely valuable when we can actually tap our employees to share. In fact, 24 times likelihood of that becoming engaging content to users on the market. But here's the real trick. Before we get there, I've got to overcome this little monster here, which is, hey, I spent loads and loads of money creating this wonderful brand of different colors and shapes and sizes, right? And then I get to the organization and my experience looks like this. And I'm like, well, you sold me on this. This was awesome. I so bought into this. And then I got this ugly, terrible intranet. The brand goes away, right? Like everything you saw, the branded communications, yeah, you get a t-shirt. But it really looks like this, okay? This is a huge problem, right? So as the market is rushing towards advocacy and so kind of the new hot thing, the reality is if you don't get people to buy into your brand and they're actually truly seeing it all the time, and we deliver the same amount and volume and realness of those communications, they're not gonna be your advocates. They're not gonna buy in, right? We're kind of leaving it out to the field as to whether or not they're having a good experience in your organization, right? So it's critical to remember the actual branded communications. I'll take 2 seconds, even though we're kind of rounding up on time, to walk through this manifesto. Amplifon's an organization we work with on a global level. It's a hearing aid organization. So a health-based hearing aid organization of multiple brands underneath. Their rallying cry goes something like this. Today I will listen. I will hear the scratch of my pen on paper. I'll notice the hum of the fridge in my home. I remember what everyone deserves, yet some are missing. And while I listen to the individual needs of my customer, I'll do everything I can do to give them back that sound they've lost. We believe that the whirs and whistles of everyday life are precious, and that's why they listen to my needs and develop my skills at Amplifon. Together, we believe that life is for listening. And this ad basically says, let's give back bedtime stories, right? This is one of these ones that kind of makes you a little, yeah, makes the heart flutter, right? Really, really powerful words what we're doing. What we've done to take that story externally, right, is bring in branded website structures where we actually introduce and pull back sounds, right? The sorts of things that you work for in the organization, right? So when I look at Amplifon's site, as I move through, I can actually play and touch and feel those sounds, right? The things that we all take for granted every day, kind of little dings and whistles and bells, right? So we took a lot of care to put these sorts of structures and stories together so that someone as a healthcare professional coming into this organization saying, I've never worked in hearing aids, would feel that emotion and kind of that quotient of what they are going to be working on, right? But the next step was to say, how do we make folks really buy into that, right? How do we establish that same brand, that same kind of beauty in our internal communications? So one of the first things we did was we made sure we did a rollout video, right? Kind of vamping that up and saying, hey, this is what we're working on. This is what we've bought into. We created this brand. We want you to get involved. So we roll out that red carpet, right? And we make that kind of an actionable thing that people get excited about internally, right? Because one thing we can't forget too is that let's say your employee for 10 years has been there and they now see this new brand. They weren't maybe involved in it. Maybe they're lower down on the chain, so they weren't involved in how we built it. How do we get them energized? And we know there's a reason why we built this based on our history and our thinking and what we want and aspire to as an organization. So we do kind of hype videos like this, right? Different ways that we can start to roll out and make it exciting and relevant. But the next thing that we did with Amplifon was to take that same experience and then build it into an intranet site, right? So in this site, we'll do our kind of typical, hey, let's walk through our values and our core and what we believe and why we do it and kind of who in our organization, why we developed what we did. Great, fantastic. But what we also do is we take that same usage of sound, right? And we establish and build it to employees too. So global organization. We ask our ambassadors to talk about themselves. We record those speeches, and we bring that in a simple internet site like this. I can dive in and I really get kind of an experience of those employees' stories, right? I can see those people, kind of read about what I'm seeing, right? But I can also hear those stories, right? And then critical to all of this, we ask those individuals to also come and share, right? If you're going to be a new brand advocate for us, then you can also come to our vehicle and share your story, right? So this aspect of branding is really, really critical before we get to that final layer of talent advocacy, right? So the final layer of all of this, we've rolled out our brand, we've established why it's important. Final layer is to say, hey, now I want you to actually share content. The last note I'll leave you on in talent advocacy, and I'll just light brush because I know there's a couple of sessions on this week. Advocacy for us is about, once we've rolled out that brand, making it really simple to use. There's no simple way to say this. Talent advocacy, if you really want to get into it, you're going to have to invest in some sort of platform, whether it be a third-party media like LinkedIn and LinkedIn Pulse, or whether it be going to a vendor of some sort, because you need to make shareable content and stories that you create, like we've showed you today, shareable and simple methodologies like sending it to my email every time I want to use it, or texting me when I want to use it, right? So that's why we develop talent advocacy platforms, okay? With that, I just wanted to wrap up because I know we're in our last couple minutes and I want to make sure we have time for any final Q&A. So what we talked about today was the four aspects of employer brand: relevancy, aspirational and differentiation, as well as credibility, right? And we talked about the various verticals that sit underneath and what I think are kind of easy ways to tee up on those different verticals. So nurturing being part of credibility, personalization for aspiration, and media targeting in that relevancy angle. I left in the leave behind that you can see two different layers of what you can work on. So this first layer, I wanted to make sure, again, that we are super agnostic with this. There are things you can work on in each one of these buckets by yourselves without having to work with another agency or vendor. So for instance, in media targeting, first part is building out personas of the types of individuals you want to reach and really having a true understanding from a job family of how that looks. Personalization starts with career pathing, right? And knowing what your job families look like and what that relevant content you're going to serve them as. And advocacy, internal brand rollout, well, anyone can build a brand toolkit, right? Simple sales sheets and guides, anything that brings someone into the organization. That next layer is when you start to work typically with digital platforms, right? Organizations that can help you connect to passive banner ad targeting or data exchanges where you can do that. Or say personalized paths within your career site or your CRM, okay? So I left this in the leave behind so you can see it. This presentation will be up on the site. And with that, I'll just, any final questions? I think we're in our last minute, but anything I didn't cover? Shai, yeah? So even in basic job alerts, we typically provide both jobs as well as relevant content underneath. And then the key there is you've got to rotate that content. So you want to swap out that content at least once a month if you're on a cadence, say, of every 2 weeks sending out an email, which is a pretty standard 2 to 3 weeks, a pretty standard cadence that won't get users too annoyed. And then when you get into more kind of your drip style, now you want to get into more content-based communications for sure. But it's definitely a good balance of the both, yeah. And like I said, there's one last note on that. It's a great study that recruiter.com just did on drip campaigns. It was really interesting to watch. Less than 20% participation or open rate in your standard email. By the fourth communication, they were up to about 32%, I believe, in their test and trial what people are opening. So that repeated communication does eventually get through. It just sometimes takes that little nudge. Oh, I got it. Well, great. Thank you for being such a good audience. Appreciate it.